The fourth aliyah of Parshas Vayetze includes a interaction between Rachel and Leah that is a little hard to understand, and it may be relevant to what we mentioned in a previous aliyah, where we noted that Yaakov married two sisters, which is against the Torah, despite the fact that Yaakov observed the Torah before it was given. And we mentioned a possible suggestion that perhaps it was permissible for him to do that, because since he was only voluntarily observing the Torah, it wasn't actually a commandment to him, so therefore he had the right to do so based on his understanding of the purpose of the mitzvos. And perhaps he understood that the prohibition to marry two sisters is based on the fear that they would be fighting with each other. And once he saw that Rachel gave Leah the simanim when she fooled him into marrying her, so he realized there was such a cooperation between the two of them, he didn't have to worry that they would be fighting. So the beginning of this aliyah perhaps calls that into question, if indeed that's what's going on, and maybe shows the wisdom of observing the rules of the Torah just across the board without trying to figure out what the purpose is and assuming we can apply the observance based on that understanding. However, it's noteworthy that Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, in his interpretation of these psukim, understands their back and forth as actually being friendly banter and not representing any hostility between them, and actually, in fact, representing that very love and friendship between them. And indeed, perhaps this validates Yaakov's assessment that they were indeed friendly to such an extent that he didn't have to worry that their relationship would deteriorate and they would be fighting with each other. So it's noteworthy that there are various ways to interpret this back and forth, this interaction that Rachel and Leah have in this aliyah. But however we read it, so Leah makes this arrangement with Rachel, which entitles her to more time with Yaakov. And we read here in Pasuk Tazayin that when Yaakov comes back from the field, Vateitze Leah, Leah goes out to meet him. And that language, Vateitze, is interpreted in Chazal in both negative and positive ways. So the Gemara Masachas Erevin and Daf Kuf Amud Beis understands it in a positive way. This is an expression of her initiative and the fact that she wanted to have more children and continue to build the Shivteka, to build the family of Yaakov, and that was a good thing, and that was why she merited to have Yisachar. However, it's noteworthy that the Tanhuma seems to have more of a negative take on this and connects this to the fact that Dina is also described in similar terms, and that is connected to the fact that she found herself in trouble for this tendency described as a yatsanis, as one who was perhaps a little bit too much of an outgoing personality. So if indeed Leah is understood to have used this attribute of being outgoing for good ends here, so how do we understand that it's connected to that same attribute in her daughter in a negative way? So this was addressed in a sicha by the Rashiva of Karen Biavna of Goldwicht, who noted that this is an important aspect to understand about parental modeling, that when there is an attribute that can have negative implications, even if it's being used towards positive ends, when a parent makes use of such a quality, it's possible that the child who sees that won't understand that that's the intention and only sees the quality and learns from that quality, and that can have negative consequences. And that's true whether it's this type of attribute, or whether it's anger, or whether it's sarcasm, or whether it's hostility, or kanos, or any other kind of mida which may have negative applications, even if it's being used for important purposes, if that's not made clear to the child, or if the child just sees the outward manifestation, so then the child may imitate that manifestation and not necessarily do so in the context of a positive purpose. And that's an important principle for a parent to understand and to be aware of, and to understand that the child may indeed come away with an impression that may not necessarily manifest itself positively. So speaking of Dina, her birth is invoked here in a way that has a tremendous impact on halachic discussions. And one wouldn't expect it from this very brief pasuk. And it's a fascinating example of just how material that is agadic has been invoked in perhaps controversial ways in very significant halachic debate. So pasuk of Aleph tells us that V'achar Yolda Bas V'atikra Shma Dina. So after this, Leah had a daughter, and she called her Dina. So the idea of the name Dina, which suggests something to do with din and judgment and analysis, so the Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us a history of this and talks about this in the context of discussing whether it's appropriate to pray for the gender of a child once a woman is already pregnant. The Gemara is talking about the question of a tefillah shav, when it's okay to pray for something that may already be established or may already be a known fact. So what consequences are there that are no longer able to be discussed, able to be subject to tefillah? So in that context, so the Gemara tells a story there that Leah had calculated that she was going to have a boy. She was pregnant and she was going to have a boy, but if so, that means she was going to have a seventh boy. And if indeed the future was that there were going to be 12 sons for Yaakov, and the Shvachos already had 4, if she was going to have 7, so that would leave only 1 for Rachel, and that means that Rachel would have fewer even than the Shvachos. So therefore, Leah didn't want Rachel to have that status, so she prayed for there to be a change. And so what it sounds like from the Gemara is that that prayer was successful, and the boy that she was carrying turned into a girl. So the Gemara discusses that in that context of whether it's possible to daven for the gender of a baby once the mother is already pregnant, or once the mother is already pregnant at a certain stage. And ultimately, the conclusion is that we can't derive anything from that story because it's miraculous. So this idea that there was something that happened related to the birth of Dina actually has many different versions in different sources within Chazal. So the way it sounds like from this Gemara is that the story really only involves Leah and her pregnancy, and that she was carrying a boy who turned into a girl. But other sources in Chazal and later rabbinic sources have different versions, you know, all kinds of different nuances. So, for example, in the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel and in other sources, it sounds like what happened was that Rachel and Leah were both pregnant at the same time, and Rachel was carrying a girl, and Leah was carrying a boy, and they switched. So Rachel ended up with the boy, who became Yosef, and Leah ended up with the girl, who became Dina. So that's how it sounds from also the Das Zakenim, who notes that that's why the pasuk here is phrased differently. Normally, for each pregnancy, it says Vatahir Vatelid, and here it doesn't say that part of Vatahir, because it's meant to convey that the child that was born was not the same one with which she became pregnant. So this has various implications, both in terms of answering questions of the narrative, but also involved in addressing certain halachic issues. So, for example, the Panei Echraza is quoted in the Maharsha in his commentary to Nida and Daf Lamed Aleph, who addresses the question of how could it be that Shimon married Dina, because Shimon and Dina were, as far as we know, full siblings. They were both the children of Yaakov and Leah. So the answer he gives is, since Dina originally was in the stomach of Rachel, so since she was switched, so really she is from Rachel as her mother, and therefore she was not a full sibling of Shimon, and for Bnei Noach, that was a permissible marriage. So this was invoked in a major debate that had tremendous practical implications. Already, quite a long time ago, earlier than people may imagine, that in 1907 already, the question of ovarian transplantation was being discussed, in this case in the journal Vayelaked Yosef, which was a Hungarian Torah journal, and this source was brought into the discussion, this mysterious birth of Dina and its implications for the status of a child that was born from material donated from one mother, but then actually born from another mother who is the actual mother. So there is quite a lot to say about this, and much of it is brought in a number of wonderful articles by my friend Dr. Edward Reichman, Rabbi Dr. Edward Reichman, who writes many very wonderful articles, and he's written about this in Tradition, as well as in Rapo Yirape, and he has very extensive discussions about how the sources that talk about this are invoked in explaining various issues in the narrative, as well as how they were utilized in much of the halachic discussions. And among what he quotes here is that Rav Moshe Yosef Roth, in an article in the journal Tel Talpios, notes, as do others, that this discussion of Shimon's marriage, so that seems to indicate that ovarian donation means that the donor is the mother. Because if we're going to say that this marriage was permissible because Dina was really considered to be the daughter of Rachel, so that means that the donor is considered to be the mother. However, others have derived the opposite conclusion. For example, the Tshuvas Rabbaz of Rabbi Tzalel Safran, and he, quoting Rav Yonasan ben Uzziel, has noted that what we had here was an interuterine transfer. Since the Torah describes Leah as the mother of Dina, so then apparently in such a situation, the birth mother is described as the mother. So other sources also come to this conclusion. In addition to Rabbi Reichman's wonderful articles, there's also a quite extensive discussion about this in the Sefer Sifsei Shlomo in Parshas Vayetze, who has quite a lot to say about this. And this is a fascinating example of how Agadic sources are sometimes debated within the context of very significant halachic discussions. However, there are those who objected to the usage of sources such as this in those discussions, and especially in the later literature, as Rabbi Reichman documents, once the issue became more practical and there was a more substantial literature about it, so sources such as this had somewhat less of a role to play. But we'll note just one more pasuk in which it was invoked. So if we look a little bit further here in pasuk Chof Dalet, Vatikra Eshmo Yosef, Yosef is born, Lemor Yosef Hashem Li Bein Acher. So Rachel mentions that she wants to have another son, and the Pardes Yosef suggests that this is because she recognizes that Yosef was actually transferred to her from Leah, and because indeed the assumption she's making is that the genetic mother is the real mother, so she wants another son, so she can say, Yosef Hashem Li, a son should be added to me that will be considered fully mine, because indeed this is the position she's taking on who the real mother actually will be. This is a point that's also discussed in the Sefer Sifshlei Shlomo, that she didn't want the world to know about the switch, and was indeed praying for another child that would be completely hers. Again, a fascinating discussion, whether or not this is actually accepted as a decisive source in practical halacha.